Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. A huge thank you to Tommy for filling in for me in the first segment, as I had some technical difficulties, but I am back. It is great to be chatting with you guys today. We still have a lot of minicamp stuff to cover, and to help us do so is the one and only Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay. You can find him on social media at Marcus Eversole. Marcus, it's great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Good to chat with you too, Andy. So seeing as you weren't able to be on the first segment, I guess I can say whatever I want, and it's not contradicting anything that you've already said, so that's a good place to start.
Even if you contradicted anything I said, Marcus, you probably would have had the right take anyway. You've been doing this far longer than I, so you are the expert on all things, pretty much everything, so we would have leaned on you anyway, but I digress. It's great to have you on. We can both talk some Packers minicamp now, so I'll let you have the floor since you are the expert here. What is your day one Packers minicamp reactions?
Well, I think obviously the highlight of day one of minicamp was Brian Gutekunst addressing the decision to release Jaire Alexander, and really nothing earth-shattering about it, but it's not every day that we get a chance to hear from the general manager. But after obviously the decision to release his first ever draft pick, it was good to just get Goody's perspective on it. And again, nothing real earth-shattering. It comes down to availability and money, and they owed him a lot of money. And he was missing a lot of games, and that's not a healthy recipe for remaining on the roster. So obviously that, combined with the news that they're taking the full cap hit this year instead of spreading it out over the next 2 years, I know we talked about that a little bit on the sideline, kind of confusing. I guess overall it doesn't really matter, but you wonder why they didn't want the flexibility of splitting the cap hit this year and next year, because you can carry over cap. But, you know, without diving too deep into that, the other, I think, big takeaway on the field, and I'm sure we'll get to this a little more, is number 80 playing cornerback, Andy. Like, everybody was freaking out about the receiver Matthew Golden wearing 22, and now you got a two-way player running around at corner wearing number 80 like Troy Brown with the Patriots back in the day.
Yeah, it was certainly a sight to behold, and tip of the cap to you, because you were the one that brought it to my attention, and you were one of the first people to recognize it and get it out there on social media as well. I want to go back to Jaire for just a moment before we get to Bo Melton. You obviously mentioned the salary cap thing. I'm with you. I can't quite yet figure out why they would want to do that, but I'm sure they had a reason, and Russ Ball is very good at his job, so I'm curious to figure out what that exact reason is. One of the things that kind of got thrown around a little bit on social media yesterday, and I'd be curious your thoughts on, there was this idea, and Goody was kind of even asked about it, of it became a, you know, kind of everyone was aware that at some point Jaire was probably not going to be on the team anymore, although I think there was still plenty of questions even from everyone as of the course of this past couple weeks. But the thought process was everyone knew that the Packers were going to move on from Jaire Alexander, so that they were not able to get a trade package, and that for some reason the Packers handled it incorrectly, and Brian Gutekunst making it known that they wanted to move on from Jaire actually, you know, made it so that they weren't able to get anything in return from him. Obviously, the were reports out there that there was potential trades in place, but how do you see, you know, that and how the Packers handled this entire situation?
Look, I think we can't lose track of the fact that, and it's a fact, they played this long game about as long as they possibly could. I mean, I suppose they could have let this linger until a training camp, but they held out hoping to get something in return by a trade until June 9th when they ultimately made that decision. I mean, this has been an ongoing conversation since the season ended in the middle of January. So, I mean, they waited for 5 months. I feel like, you know, several of the reports that came out, maybe they were trying to play a leverage game a little bit, saying like, hey, you know, we'll keep him. We'll keep him around. Trust me, if you want Jair Alexander, you better trade for him. And the draft came and went, no takers. And then another month plus passed, no takers. So ultimately, before Jair was going to force their hand and show up for minicamp, they said, we're just going to move on. And I mean, I got a couple phone calls earlier this week on my show. You know, someone called up and he's like, so Marcus, I just got off work. I was just working a 12-hour shift. And the first thing I hear is that the Packers released Jair Alexander. You mean to tell me they couldn't get anything in return via trade? Not even a backup bottom of the roster player, not even a late round pick. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what they're telling you. Trust me, the Packers didn't turn down a draft pick to trade Jair. The report from Tom Silverstein is basically that the Packers thought they had a deal in place, and then that particular team couldn't fit Jair under the salary cap. He wasn't willing to adjust his contract, which is a theme, and thus the deal fell apart. So sometimes these things happen. Like, yeah, on the surface, I feel like a player of Jair's caliber is very much worth something. Like, I would think he's worth a draft pick. And again, we're talking about how he's missed at least 10 games in 3 out of the last 4 years. All the other 31 teams are well aware of that also.
No, very much so. And it's so funny because we have so many conversations about this entire situation all offseason long, when really I think it kind of comes down to something relatively simple in the fact that the Packers came to, I think, a determination pretty early on that Jair Alexander was not worth $17.5 million this season. So once you come to that conclusion, you have basically, you know, two options. You can either trade him or you can release him, or you can restructure him, I should say. So there's three options. They go and they try to trade him. And basically every other team told the Packers as well that they did not want to take on Jair at $17.5 million. They got to the same conclusion that Green Bay did, that they wanted a different contract if they were going to trade for him. We'll see if he gets more than 17.5 in the open market. If he does, then maybe there's a change in philosophy there. I just would be stunned if he does. So once you don't have a team that's willing to take on that contract, you have two options remaining. That is to restructure his current contract and go to him and try to figure something out. Once they did that per Matt Schneidman and he was not willing to do that, you are now left with one remaining decision. Because you've already came to the conclusion that he's not worth keeping for $17.5 million, the only remaining solution left is to release him. That's what they did, and now we'll see what he ultimately gets on the open market. But I don't think that Green Bay really could have handled this any different than what they did. Any thoughts on that before we move on to Bo Melton?
I think you nailed it right there.
I appreciate you, my friend. Let's go over to Bo Melton, as you mentioned, giving off the Troy Brown vibes and aura, wearing number 80, playing defensive back. We got, you know, the word from Brian Gutekunst that it was something that they kind of saw on special teams, that they thought he might be able to make the transition. We, you know, sort of Matt LaFleur in the post-practice press conference echoed those sentiments, also said maybe a little bit to do with the fact of numbers at corner, with, of course, Jair being released, as well as Micah Robinson and Kalen King not practicing yesterday. What do you overall make of this, and is this something that could actually be viable for the Packers moving forward?
I think it's something that could be viable. I mean, if you told me that one of the Packers receivers was moonlighting as a corner, I probably would have guessed Bo Melton, and part of that is because he's buried on the depth chart, and the other part is that he's got a really unique skill set, and we see him flying down the field on special teams, which is clearly what the Packers saw, and it makes some sense. I mean, the receiver room is crowded right now. The corner room is not, or at least it's crowded with a bunch of inexperienced players. And ultimately, here's the deal. It's June, and it's kind of fun. It's something we're going to track throughout the summer moving forward. It's nothing more than that right now. And one thing that blew me away when I posted some of those videos, and I'm sure you saw some of it in your mentions as well, is that, like, I'm blown away. Nothing should surprise me anymore, but I am blown away at the polarizing nature of some of these reactions. Like, I'm reading some reactions to these videos of Bo Melton going through simple cornerback drills, flipping his hips and backpedaling all that, and people are like, oh my gosh, we're cooked. Season's over. You lose Jair, you release Jair Alexander, and you move a receiver to corner. Really, that's your solution? It's like, how do you not just look at that story and say, oh, Bo Melton's playing a little corner. Cool. Let's see what happens with this. But instead, it's like, oh my God, the sky is falling, everything sucks, and Brian Gutekind doesn't know what he's doing. It's, how do you get there? So, it's listen, like you brought up to Matt LaFleur after practice yesterday, if it works, I mean, we always talk about the bottom of the roster. In order to make the team, you got to play on special teams. Well, if Bo Melton shows that he can play corner, maybe he's nothing more than an emergency corner, maybe he's their fifth or sixth corner, wherever he is on the depth chart, and he's right around the same range on the receiver depth chart, fifth or sixth guy, core special teamer. If you have 48 players active on game day, and you got a guy that can play offense, defense, and special teams, like that's a lot of value, gives you a lot of flexibility on game day. So there is upside to it, but ultimately, as far as it right now, it's June, it's early, and it's kind of fun, and I think everybody can just cool their jets on the hot takes.
This is Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay. You can find him on social media at Marcus Eversole. I could not agree with that more if I possibly tried. I think probably the only issue here, the only optics thing here, is that it was the same day that basically Jair Alexander was being released, and they both happened, and now be, you know, in the cornerback room or like in the same position or whatever. I think that's the only thing. I think this is any other day of any other season where there's not a Jair Alexander release, I think you probably are looking at it as more like, well, this is really cool. Like, oh my goodness, you know, Bo Melton's playing corner, and you know, you get kind of this cool story out of it. And I think a lot of people still took it that way, but of course, it's on the same day that Jair Alexander's basically getting released, and I think that's what took over the narrative, unfortunately. But I'm right there with you. For Bo Melton, certainly a huge value add for him to his resumes. He's probably having to fight it out with Malik Heath and Mecole Hardman for potentially one roster spot at wide receiver. And for Mecole Hardman, he has the added value of actually being able to do punt returns and potentially kick returns as well, and you know, maybe even be the primary punt returner. So that could be tough to beat out. Malik Heath, I think, is now even going to maybe have a more uphill climb, although he had a really nice day yesterday as well. But you're battling with him. And now for Bo Melton, if you have the ability to say, hey, I'm just as good as those guys at wide receiver, but also play, you know, a core special teams, you know, coverage, returns, etc. And by the way, I can be, again, like you said, your number five or number six corner. Well, that has a lot more value, actually gives you that puncher's chance to have the opportunity to make it as that number six wide receiver, wherever that may be on the roster. So I think it's a value add for them. You mentioned it as well, the value add for the Packers, if you can have somebody with that versatility on the 48-man roster. And who knows, it might end up at like the end of minicamp, they realize, well, that was a dumb idea, bad experiment, it didn't work, let's just keep him at wide receiver. But if it does work, what a cool story, and how awesome would that be if he was able to make it with that versatility?
Exactly. I mean, you nailed it. That's what the conversation should be with Bo Melton. It's a bottom of the roster guy who they're just getting a look-see at corner. By the way, of course, his brother also played corner. Second round pick out of Rutgers a year ago. They're almost identical in size and athletic traits, for what it's worth. But I mean, you nailed it with the timing, the fact that it came right after they released Jair Alexander, and that wound is still open, and some people still feel some type of way about it. So then when they see the news about Bo Melton, it's like, you know, everything, you pouring gasoline on the fire or whatever. But yep. I think that's kind of a problem with, not to go on a tangent, but sports fandom in general these days. It's like, I mean, you brought up Mecole Hardman. Okay, when the Packers signed Mecole Hardman, there was a lot of the same reaction. Like, oh my God, really? This is the answer? You're going to go get Mecole Hardman? Yeah, well, just wait. Just pump the brakes. A month later, they draft Matthew Golden in the first round and Savion Williams in the third round. Like, I think a problem with sports fans these days is, like, you want every move to be first ballot Hall of Famer, complete game changer. They're trying Bo Melton out at corner. He's a bottom of the roster guy at receiver, potentially a bottom of the roster guy at corner. If he can do both, great. He's probably got a spot on the roster. If not, he's going to face an uphill battle to make in the team as a receiver and a special teamer. There is no downside. Relax.
We're going to start a new segment here on The Fan in Milwaukee, and it's going to be the Marcus Eversol airing of grievances segment, where for one segment every month, you just get to build up all the stuff that you have on your radio show every year that you're just getting frustrated with, but you can't express it to your listeners in Green Bay, and you just get to come on and air everything out here, and it's going to be absolutely epic. So I like this idea moving forward where you can get some of these frustrations off your chest, and it's going to be absolutely epic. I'm with you. Sorry, what were you going to say?
My biggest problem, I've learned this about myself, the thing that I complain about most is other people complaining about stuff. And that's probably a personality flaw of mine, but like I see some stuff and I'm like, why do you let yourself get so mad about something so small? And then 30 seconds in, I'm like, Marcus, you're getting mad about someone else getting mad. You need to relax.
No, it's absolutely warranted, though. I know exactly how you feel in some of these situations. And I think it actually transitions perfectly to this cornerback room as is, because I feel kind of the same way of, hey, right now, you still have Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard is kind of your top four guys that are going to be patrolling corner in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, Bullard can play safety and corner as well. And of course, there is some questions about the depth. I think that's fair. Goody sort of addressed it as well and saying, hey, now it's time for those guys to step up. But Marcus, we hear all the time from the Packers specifically of like, hey, the only way that these young players get better is if they are given opportunity. Well, Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, and Micah Robinson, those next three corners up on the roster, and anyone else that you want to add into that from the rest of the cornerback depth chart, you can go for as well. But those next players up are young players that are in need of an opportunity to go out and show that they can be a number four, a number five, or a number six corner. And I think the interesting thing to me, we know Jaire Alexander basically didn't play last year. He played about a few hundred snaps in totality. You took Eric Stokes and you upgraded him to Nate Hobbs. Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, and Javon Bullard were your primary corners through the remainder of this past season. So this already feels like an upgrade to me, going from Stokes to Hobbs in a pretty significant way. It is not that Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, and Micah Robinson are trying to replace Jaire Alexander. Those three are trying to replace Corey Ballantyne and Robert Rochelle as the fourth and fifth corners, or fifth and sixth corners, depending on how you want to view it. I have a far less angst and anxiety over that, and I'm intrigued to see what those three corners can do with the opportunity. And if you get to the end of the training camp or whatever, and you need to go acquire somebody, Goody has shown that he's able to do that. Look at quarterback last year with Malik Willis at the end of camp. So I don't obviously like steer this entire segment for you, but this corner room feels a very similar way of like, let's just let this breathe a little bit before we get into super panic mode.
I agree with you. I do feel like if you're looking at their position groups, just ranking them, best to worst,
sure,
I do think corner is towards the bottom just based on talent alone. Like, they don't have a proven shutdown guy. I know we clearly can see the cutoff. They have a clear top three with Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, and Carrington Valentine. But let's face it, even with those top three, it's not like they have a ton of experience. I think 95 starts combined between the three. Jaire started 70-some games by himself over 7 years. So I do still have some questions even about the top three, but they also don't run a man-heavy scheme. Like, you're not going to be asking Keyshawn Nixon, hey, your job this week is to go shadow Justin Jefferson. That's probably not going to happen. So almost schematically, they can kind of cover up their corners to some degree. And you're right, in terms of, the Kamal Haddons, Kalen Kings, Micah Robinsons of the world, those depth guys after their top three corners, and then Javon Bullard, who can also play the slot, like you said, they're more like the Corey Ballantyne type replacements. So it's not the end of the world. Like, I think they're fine at corner right now. I think they're okay at corner. I don't think they're much better than that. I don't think they're great at corner. But, like, you think about if an injury or two strikes.
Yep.
Like, a couple years ago, they went to Minnesota, and Carrington Valentine as a rookie and Corey Ballantyne as a journeyman special teamer, they were their starting cornerbacks in a must-win. That was the game Jaire was suspended for. Must-win game to get to the playoffs. Those two guys, Valentine and Ballantyne, played 100% of the snaps. Now, they were lucky. Jaren Hall happened to start at quarterback for the Vikings that game, so they had nothing going with the passing game. But point being, with a couple injuries, you could be looking at Kamal Haddon or Kalen King or Micah Robinson actually playing some snaps for you. So they're going to have every opportunity in camp to show that they're ready to play. And if not, I mean, maybe there is another Malik Willis type acquisition down the road, because I do have questions there. I'm not in panic mode by any means, but you know, I just think of like a potential playoff matchup with a team like the Rams, let's say, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua. I'm guessing Sean McVay would look at the Packers' corners and think, yeah, we can do a little something here.
And to your point, Nate Hobbs has not exactly been a picture of health throughout his career either. He has not made it to 900 snaps in his entire career. He made it to 894 as a rookie. He only played 554 a year ago, and 775 was his second most in 2023. So he's been banged up pretty much every year of his career. Hopefully that doesn't happen in Green Bay, but he has not exactly been this perfect picture of health either. So they are bringing on a little bit of injury risk with him as well. Really quick, Marcus, before we get you out of here, I saw you tweet about Tyron Hopper. I thought he flashed a couple plays as well. What did you see from Tyron Hopper yesterday?
Just that. I mean, a couple reps. You know, there was one where he was covering Chris Brooks out of the backfield, and he looked like he shot out of a cannon and broke up the pass. And this is the problem with minicamp and OTAs, though, is I see a couple nice plays, or, you know, like we both talked about, saw a couple nice plays from Hopper, and then after I tweet that, I hear...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here, Matt LaFleur last week talking about how they're going at jog-through pace, and the problem with that is that some players go faster than that, and then everything gets thrown out of whack. And I'm like, all right, well, was Tyron Hopper just going a little harder than everybody else, harder than he should have been? I don't know. But Hopper flashed a little bit, and that's good to see.
Yeah, very much so. I totally agree with you. It's tough to tell if that was a good thing or a bad thing, again, based on the pacing of what drill that they were going through. But I guess if we're seeing some flashes from Tyron Hopper, never a bad thing in totality. Marcus, I cannot thank you enough. Tell us where we can find you on social media and all about your show on The Fan in Green Bay.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Tommy, because Tommy made it very clear that I was going to be on the show. He spelled my name correctly, Marcus Eversole, and then in parentheses also put my Twitter handle, which is also Marcus Eversole, spelled the exact same way. So I appreciate him specifying both my name and my Twitter handle. That's where you can find all the good stuff, so just follow me there.
Tommy is on his A-plus game today. I appreciate him a ton. I appreciate you a ton. Marcus, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk again soon, and enjoy Better Call Eversole today.
Thank you very much, Andy. Appreciate you.
Likewise. All right, that is Marcus Eversole. Find him on social media at Marcus Eversole. We got a lot more Packaday Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.